prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this another day that you spared us to live to see. Father, we thank you for your Son who gave his life a ransom, Heavenly Father, that we might go free. Father, I pray your blessings upon the service this day. Heavenly Father, you know what we stand in need of. Father, I pray for every teacher. I pray, Father, for the time of singing. I pray, Heavenly Father, for Brother Kinsey comes to break the bread of life. Father, have your will and way. Father, I pray. Lord, we have nothing. We have no hope, Heavenly Father, without you. Father, I pray in everything and all things, Heavenly Father, that your name be exalted and glorified. If there be one lost and undone, Father, I pray this be the day that they come to the knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. Father, have your will and way, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor. It's in thy Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, his sweet and lovely name that we do humbly ask these things. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And if you want to read a chapter in God's Word that'll pretty well cover every aspect of a Christian's life and a Christian's walk in this old world, chapter 3 is a pretty good chapter to read and to read on a daily basis. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, deals with our Christian walk with our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's Word said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And I think one of the things in our lives as a Christian, that we need to know where we stand with our Lord and Savior. We need to know where we're at. And this is what I love about studying God's Word. I love the part about the Holy Ghost, because when you get to studying God's Word and you get to reading God's Word, then that precious Holy Ghost, which a lot of times we want to sort of leave out, but he's very much a part of the Godhead, he gets in our heart and he gets in this old mind and he begins to carry us from place to place in God's Word. And I love that. To me, that's an exciting thing. If you would, turn to the Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I was talking about where you are in your Christian walk with your Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus speaking in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and there be few that find it." So we look at our God never intended for us as Christians to be on a broad highway. Our trail is a narrow and a straight trail. It wasn't a trail that we're lost on, but it's a trail that was prepared for us, and we are led by our shepherd. I've told a lot of people, if you want to have a good leader, then you lead by example. You don't tell somebody what to do and do contrary to what you tell them to do. We have a Lord and Savior that led the way, and the Bible says that we should follow in His steps. So one thing we as Christians need to realize, that we are on a narrow path, not the broad path that leads to death and destruction. The broad path, you can veer off to the right or you can veer off to the left, and it won't be long in your Christian walk that you're going to find out you're in a lot of trouble if you get on that broad path, because Jesus said this path will lead to destruction. You can depend on that. You also have to realize what you are in this world if you're going to walk with the Lord. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. And chapter 11 talks with all about the old saints that served the Lord. It talks about Abel and Enoch, Abraham, Sarah, Noah, all of these. In Hebrews 11, 13, speaking of these old saints of God, listen to what it says. He said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. I have never seen Jesus with these old eyes of mine, but by faith I accept Him as Lord and my Savior in my life. And not only do I accept Him, but by His grace and by His mercy and by His love, I feel Him in my heart every day that I walk. He's always with me with that promise that I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Listen to what it says here. He said, these all died in faith. Now, where were they at? They were on that narrow path, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. They were persuaded of them. Persuaded of those promises. In other words, they trusted in those promises that the Lord had given them. You see, if I die in this old world before the Lord comes back to get me, I've got a promise, I'm going home. Now see, I ain't never been home yet. The good Lord's blessed me with a place to live here, but I hadn't been home yet. But I've got a home that's been prepared for me by a Lord and Savior that loved me more than I could ever understand. And the Bible says right here that they saw these promises afar off, and they were persuaded of them. Listen to this. Now, this is what I love. And embraced them. They grabbed hold of them. They held on to them, and they hugged them and loved them, just like we'd hug and love one another, saying, Lord, I know You're faithful who has promised. And You will not leave me. You will not forsake me. You will not forget me. And so I'm going to embrace these promises, and I'm going to hold on to them and listen, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Now, I've seen a lot of changes in my life from the time I was a young child to where I'm at now. A lot of changes. I'm talking about in the way that people are. And I'm sure that times and people that's lived before me have seen those things too. But I don't know so much so as the way it is in this day that we're living with the way people act and the way people do. And I'm going to tell you something. I've told people at work this more and more and more. I do not feel anywhere close to this old world like I belong. There's nothing in this old world that I want. You can look around, you can see the things that's going on nowadays. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I do not fit in, and we should not fit into this old world. Now, when the Bible says for us to come out and be separate, listen to what the Scripture says, separate. It didn't say separated, because if we were separated from them, we'd have to go out of this world. But it said be separate, be different. Be different, and not within ourselves, because there's nothing within ourselves that we can do to change ourselves, but it is through Christ Jesus. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, that we should show the world something different within us. So the Scripture says here, now turn with me, we're still talking about the Christian walk with the Father and our Lord and Savior. Go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians 6. 19 and 20. And listen to what the Scripture says here. Paul, writing under the direction of the Holy Ghost, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Now listen to verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's talking about a separated vessel. A separated vessel yielded unto God to be used according to God's will in your life. Now this is the thing that really catches me. He said, for ye are bought with a price. There's nowhere in my life, at no time in my life, can I ever think that I was worthy of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet I believe with all my heart, if I had been the only sinner in this world, He would have came to this world and He would have died on an old rugged cross to save a sorry, wretched sinner like me. I'm a failure. There's nothing good about me. You see nothing good standing here before you today. Nothing good about me. Oh, but it's all in Him. God's Word said you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ purchased your salvation. And what did it cost Him on an old rugged cross? And yet before He made it to that cross, Satan and the things of this old world tried to beat Him to death. Yet He walked up that old rugged hill. He hung on that cross. And He shed His precious and His holy blood for me and for you and for all the world. I love what John the Baptist said when he saw Him coming to the River Jordan. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." We think about that. All the sins of this old world have been paid for. And all that man has to do is come and bow at His feet and say, "Lord, forgive me, for I'm a wretched sinner, and deliver me from what I am." Bought with a price. Look at what He said there in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. He said, "Risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, the narrow road, the narrow path, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, to deliver yourself, your body, a temple unto God, ready to be used of God, yielded as a vessel unto God." He said, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." God has blessed us all. I mean, look at where we're gathered today. I want you to look at where we're gathered today. And listen, I want to tell you something. Not just in this church building, but in the Lord. When you think about being in this church, and that He would love us enough that He would visit us and spread the Holy Ghost through this place and love on us, as unworthy as we are. For there's none here that cannot say, "I am not a sinner, but I am a sinner saved by grace. I am a wretched failure." And the Bible says here, He says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." So let's talk about treasures for just a little bit. Go with me to the book of Matthew once again, chapter 6, 19 through 21. Jesus once again speaking here. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal." So the Bible says for us to lay our treasures up in heaven for one reason. That where your treasures are, there will your heart be. Where do you want your heart to be today? Do you want it to be in this world and the things of the world? Or do you want your heart to be above with the Lord, where all your strength and all the things that you have come from? Jesus talked about priorities still here in Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Now listen, He's just told us to lay our treasures up in heaven. Then over here He begins to talk to us in the same chapter, verse 31 through 33. He's telling us about priorities in our life. He said, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Now listen to this right here. "For your heavenly Father." Now He is God. There's none beside Him, none like unto Him. But you think about, because of Jesus and what He did for us on the cross, we can come to Him as our heavenly Father. And the Bible says here, "That your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I'm going to tell you something about that just a little bit further. Now, He knows that we need clothes to wear. He knows that we need food. He knows that we need a place to live. And He's going to provide those things for us. You can depend on that because it's in His Word. You can count on it. But now, who in this morning would tell me, said, Brother Lee, He hasn't gone further than that in my life? Who could tell me, said, Brother Lee, my Heavenly Father, through His mercy and abundance of grace and riches in heaven, has not gone beyond the blessings of food and clothing and a place to live? There's not one sitting in here this morning that couldn't say, I'm talking about from the poorest one of us to the richest one of us, that He could not say He's gone beyond those things. I'm going to tell you, when you sit in a hospital with a loved one and the sick, and the doctor tells you there's nothing I can do any further, and God's hand rests upon him, and He raises him up by that bed of sickness, who's going to tell me God hasn't gone beyond what He's done as far as clothing and food? You look around yourself when you get home today and what you've got at home, and tell me that God's not going to bless you above and beyond what He's promised you in this Bible. You can't tell me that. He goes beyond it. But I'm going to tell you something about the riches in the world. God talks about those things too. If you would, turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6 and 17. He'll tell you about the riches in the world. 6 and 17, here Paul, God's servant to the Gentiles, talking to Timothy, young preacher. 6 and 17, this is what he says. He said, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Listen to what he said right there. He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now it just depends on how you want to enjoy them. You can look at that enjoyment is this way right here. You can say, well, I'm going to enjoy the boat that you got me. Lord, I'm going riding on the lake today. Or I'm going to do this with what you blessed me with, Lord, instead of going to praise you. Listen to what he says. He says, giveth us richly all things to enjoy. If you've been blessed, this is what you need to do. You need to remember to be thankful every day that you walk, every step that you take. Lift your voice up to Him above, where the world can hear you or not. You can raise your voice up in your heart and say, thank you, Lord, that you're taking care of me. Oh, Lord, how you blessed me. How good you've been to me. Listen now. He said to give us richly all things to enjoy. Does it stop there? No. He said that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. Listen, taking what the Lord blessed you with and helping somebody else, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. What did Jesus say? Lay your treasures up in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I'm going to tell you something by God's Word. It's back and forth and forth and back. It never changes. There's no kind of illness, no kind of sickness, no kind of failing in God's Word. You're not going to pick out God's Word and say, wait, I made a mistake right here. It's going to go back and forth throughout the Scriptures reminding us, because we need to be reminded of what we are and who we are and who we serve and who we walk with and how good He's been to us. So now, here we've looked at those verses in Colossians. Verses 1 through 4. And we've talked about our walk with the Lord. Let's look in verses 5 and through 8. And let's talk about our walk in the world with this thing. this old fleshly man. Now here's where we're going to get stepping on toes. And it's all right, we need our toes stepped on. It says, mortify. Now listen to what it says here. Mortify therefore your members. That's yours, that's mine. Don't you hop up and say, they're not mine, I ain't got them. Don't you even think about it, because they there. They there, you look at them. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is adultery. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Now listen, he's done told us to mortify, that is to kill or destroy or subdue by force. Now I'm going to tell you something, you've got to put a little effort in this old flesh. Now you can't destroy this old flesh on your own, but you're going to have to talk to the Lord about that. I said, Lord, here I am again. You don't do something with me, Lord, I'm fit to cut this feller's head off. And I mean, I'm just talking the truth now. Let's think about it. Let's think about it. I said, Lord, you're going to have me. So that's one thing you've got to do. You've got to submit to God. Now listen, God's Word has a formula for everything. The Bible says in the book of James, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. What? Resist the devil and he shall flee from you. No, you're leaving something out. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The devil's not scared of you. Resist him if you want to, but he's not scared of you. But I'm going to tell you what, when that little old sheep, that little old lamb gets behind the Lord's legs and wraps his little legs around the Lord's legs and peeps around the Lord at the devil said, that's as far as I can go. Because there's the shepherd. There's the shepherd. Now, he's done talked about mortifying these things that he mentioned above. But now, listen right here. He said, but now ye also put off all of these. Anger, wrath. I said, Lord, you could have left that out. You could have left that out. You're picking at me, Lord, about that. I mean, Jane will tell you I'm almost in the bulldog syndrome. That I love to sit on my bottom and bark and growl. They'll tell you at work. How's the barkingest one human being I've ever seen in my life? Anger and wrath, malice, wishing something evil on somebody. Lord have mercy. Don't we have enough in this old world to trouble us without us wishing something bad on somebody? You know, I'm going to tell you something. When you're wishing something bad on somebody, you're almost putting a gun to your head and wishing that it would come back on you. And I don't think there's none of us in here that could stand the thought of something bad coming back on us or one of our loved ones. He said, throw this old malice away. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, let me tell you something about filthy communication. I can be a lot more than cussing. A lot more than cussing. I can be one of them things when you say, let me just a minute. I want to tell you, now I know it won't go no further when I tell you this. And you know good and well the person you're talking to, they're going to run with it. They're going down the ball field with it, you know it. So, physical communication could be anything that's going to tear down. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's Word tells us that we as Christians, we are there for the edification. That's the building up. It's like an old dentist. They used to be my dentist when I was a little boy. Dr. Morris didn't bow, and he was an old man. I'm going to tell you something, church. When I was coming up, they heard a lot of different things for children than what they hear nowadays. A little children, I have a sympathy for them now. We could be going home from church on a Wednesday night, it'd be dark, and you see a 12-year-old child walking down the sidewalk by himself, and something's wrong. Something's wrong. When I was a little boy, you heard good things from old people. I'm talking about when I was 6 and 8 years old, and Dr. Morris telling me, he said, Lee, if you can't find something good to say about somebody, just be quiet. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to know what's wrong with some of these little kids nowadays, we have failed. we have failed. And Brother Ken has said so many times, it's not because of preaching, but it's because of the lack of it. We don't want to take a stand. We tolerate too much stuff. Now here he's just talked to us about this old flesh, what we live in. And that's what this is. This is what I live in. This body is supposed to be the temple of God. I'm supposed to try to keep it clean. It's up to me to try to keep it clean. And I'm going to have a struggle. But I'm not going to have to do it by myself. I'm not going to have to do it by myself. I go back to that same thing again. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I ain't going to leave you alone. You're going to be in a war. You're going to be in a struggle, but you ain't going to fight it by yourself. You ain't going to fight it by yourself. Think about old Pilate when he had Jesus there. And he told Jesus standing there saying nothing. Pilate ran back in that old fleshly voice, in that old fleshly way. He said, "What's wrong with you, man? Speak up! Don't you know that I have the power to let you live or die?" And Jesus said, "You'd have no power at all if it was not given you from above." Who's in charge, church? I'm thankful to know that my Father in heaven still on the throne. Crow, man, crow if you want to crow. But He's still in charge. Now, let's go a little further. The Bible talks now about our Christian walk one with another. Verses 9 through 17. Listen to what God's Word says. Lie not one to another. Now, Lord, you know every now and then, I got to be careful with that because people put you in a position. Do you think I'm pretty? Oh, Lord. You're going to have to help me with this, Lord. You think I'm joking about that, but I had a young lady at work one time. She never looked like her clothes were ironed. She never brushed her hair. She come in one day and she was dressed fit to tea, had her hair brushed and everything. And she asked me that when I was supervising. She said, "Lee, do you think I'm pretty?" I said, "Oh, Lord. You're going to have to help me with this one." And I told her this. I said, "Hun, you look extremely nice today. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off," listen, "the old man with his deeds." Now you got to put that old man off because he's going to follow you. He's going to be right behind you. Every time you stop, he's going to bump into you. "Wait a minute. Put off the old man and have put on the new man, which is renewed." Now listen, that's the beautiful thing about the walk with the Lord in this old flesh. It's renewed daily. Over and over and over again, you can feel His power resting on you. "Thank you, Lord, for helping me, for renewing me, because you know I need the strength, Lord. In knowledge after the image of Him that created Him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity," or love, "which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye..." Now listen, "be ye what? Thankful." Thankful. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." That's picking one another up. There's going to be somebody down as we walk through this whole life. We're going to have to start picking them up, carry them on. "Pushing one another on in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God," giving thanks to God, "giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Now here we are. We've talked about how we should live among one another, how we should look at one another, and how that the Bible says to put on the new man, to stay away from the old man. Because the old man is like a hog. He loves slop. He loves sloth. Now, if you don't think that sin is fun or that you can enjoy sin, God didn't leave that out of the Bible either. Now, I want you to listen, if you would. Turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 one more time. Beginning with verse 24. Now, this is speaking of Moses. It talks about putting off the old man and the trouble that's in this old man. It says right here, it said, by faith. Now, listen, this is God's servant Moses. By faith. Here we go again with that faith. By faith. Embracing those things that were promised to you. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, now listen, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Now here goes with your riches again, laying your treasures up in heaven or putting them in this earth. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. For he, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He looked unto the Father. The Bible says right here that he refused to go this route and to enjoy the sins of pleasure. What did it say? For a season. It's going to be for a while, church, and it's going to be a payday. And that payday is going to be a harsh, harsh payday. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you. And I can tell you this because, see, I've been like the prodigal son. I've been in the hog pen. I've been in the hog field. There ain't nothing, nothing in this world that's going to compare to the Lord. And how he loves you. And how he treats you. And how he does for you. Right back here again, once again, talking about how that we should live among our brothers and sisters. I want here in verse 12 of Colossians 3, I love these scriptures here. He said, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Now listen. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now the Bible talks about us forgiving one another, and that's very, very, very important. And not only is it important, but it is necessary. Absolutely necessary. Because the devil would have you at odds with one another. He would love to tear everybody in the body of Christ up apart. The Bible says that the wolf scattereth the sheep. Now, if you have trouble in the church, it ain't got nothing to do with God. Because the wolf scattereth the sheep. The wolf scattereth the sheep. But a lot of times, we want to sort of get on our high horse. And I think about the scripture, what Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican in the temple. The Bible said the Pharisee stood upright. And he said, I thank you, God, that I'm not an extortioner or an adulterer. I pay my tithes and I do this and I do that. And Lord, I'm not even like this old publican over here. Lord, you're fortunate to have me with you. I know you're glad for me to be on your team because we make up such a wonderful thing. If you need some help, Lord, in making a decision, let me know. And the Bible says that the publican would not even so much as lift his eye up to heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, the publican knew what he was and who he was. Church, it's time for us always to do. The Bible says esteem one another better than yourself. That means to look on somebody above you. Not just think on you, but think on others. That's Christ did. Lord, have mercy, how good he was to us. But I love what the scripture says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Because, see, when you get on them high fence rails, you're easy to fall off. Ephesians chapter 4, listen to this right here, beginning with verse 30. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Listen now, 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. Now listen, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake. He didn't say for your sake. You better listen to what the Scripture says. You ain't worthy of forgiveness. I'm not worthy of forgiveness. I'm a wretched thing. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I've earned my wages. I'm worthy to be burned in the devil's hell by the very deeds of this old flesh. But my heavenly Father forgave me for His Son's sake, who suffered and died on an old rugged cross. So, Ken, I'm going to have to stop here. I know we're getting close. Love all y'all. God bless you.